Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we commit our sister Lisa to Thee tonight, and especially her father, who has become so seriously ill. We ask that Thou would be near to him and the family at this particular time, and grant that it may please Thee to raise this gentleman to health and to comfort and assure his loved ones. Remember Charlie in hospital tonight. We pray that this wound will heal. We pray that he'd soon be feeling better. Remember Roy in hospital. We ask, Lord, that you would grant to him Thy healing touch and deal with the difficulties that he's experiencing in his health. Remember all who need Thee particularly. In these days of ill health and pain and weakness and suffering and distress and anxiety and crisis and burden, draw very near and help all in their great need. Remember us now, shut us up to Thyself, and may the remainder of our meeting be a time when heaven will come down our souls to greet and glory crown the mercy seat. Remember these needs of the Holiday Bible Club and the Sports Fun Week and the barbecue on Friday night, the sports night, fun night, and the college this Friday night. Help in all of these areas and grant that there will be adequate numbers of personnel to get under the burden in each place and to help the work of God forward. Now for the preaching of Thy word, grant insight. Grant the power of the Holy Spirit. Grant grace and humility and the confidence that God will not let His word return to Him void, but that you'll accomplish that which you please and prosper in the thing whereto Thou wilt send it. Grant the power of the Holy Spirit for this task in the Saviour's name. Amen. You will remember, those of you, and that's most of you who were here this morning, that we were dealing with verse 23 from Proverbs chapter 4. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we showed plainly and clearly, we trust, that the focus was on the heart. But we had to find out what was meant by the word heart. And we noticed that the heart is spoken of in at least seven different ways in the Bible. And we had words of Holy Scripture in support of all of those matters. The heart was used physically. Well, we have no problems about that. This is what keeps us going, this little organ inside our breast and chest area. And then there was the metaphorical, that is, the heart's the picture of something, or rather, there's something that's a picture of the heart, but it's not literally the heart, and we went into that. We saw some instances of that. We saw also there was the mental. The heart is something that we can think with, reason with, as the different people in the Bible showed us. And then the heart is used emotionally. We talk about our heart is set on this matter, or I love you with all my heart, or his heart goes out to someone in those terrible circumstances they're passing through. And then we noticed there was also the devotional aspect of the heart. We're told about certain ways of serving the Lord, and the heart was in each one of them. And one that will always do us good in congregational singing is, when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, that we were to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. And then we saw that the heart was used in the moral sense and in the spiritual sense. And it's in these senses, the spiritual and the moral mainly, and also the mental and the emotional and the devotional, but really the moral and the spiritual primarily, the heart is thought of here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. And then we notice something very unique about the heart. And this is really where we finished this morning. And that was that Solomon says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We saw that the heart had so much to teach us about the way we lived our lives, about our characters, about our conduct. This is what the apostle, or rather the king, Solomon, was saying here. And we likened it, among other things, to a reservoir from which flow the waters that keep us going day by day. We noticed the important question, in the light of all of that, what state is our heart in? And that brings us to the last part that we never got dealing with at the service this morning. And it's actually the duty we are to discharge. Notice verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We have got to keep our heart. Notice what he's saying. Keep your own heart. Keep your own heart. Now, there is a sense in the Bible that every one of us is our brother's keeper. That is, we have a responsibility toward others for their well-being. You remember how Cain, whenever God faced him, where's Abel? He said very nastily to God, am I my brother's keeper? In other words, am I responsible for him? Well, he murdered his brother. That's why I answered that way. And then there's another place in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus Christ washed the disciples' feet. And he says, as you've seen me do, you do it. And the thought there is that we have a responsibility for the spiritual well-being of others. Now, that said, yet there are restrictions. That said, what Solomon is saying here is, every one of us has the responsibility to see to our own spiritual condition. Now, the Song of Solomon, it tells us of an incident where the shepherd girl there said, they made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. She was so busy looking after the needs of others that she never got seeing to her own needs. And you and I, while we ought to be concerned about others in the right way, in the best way, yet we have got to take heed to ourselves and our own state before the Lord. So we've got to keep our own heart. We've got to keep our own heart constantly. This is not a one-off thing or something that we might do every 5 or 10 or 15 years in our lives. This is something that has to be done regularly. And then, of course, we've got to do it with humility. We've got to do it humbly. We cannot afford to be complacent or arrogant about this matter of seeing to our own spiritual well-being. Now, how do we go about this? How do we set about keeping our heart with all diligence? Because out of our hearts, our inner being, that is, come the issues of life. Well, there are two things here in the verse that Solomon tells us about. First of all, there are the means here and the manner. Notice, first of all, the means by which we are to discharge this duty. It's not said, but it's implied. Number one. Just think of it with any task you have to do. Number one, there has got to be this awareness that we feel. Let me put it to you like this. You have a task to do, and maybe you don't want to face up to it, but it has to be done. You're conscious of it. No matter what else you're doing day by day, you're conscious of the fact, I have got to deal with this matter. There's an awareness there day by day. And if you remember, we're looking at the heart in the sense that it's dealing with our innermost being, our personality. And what the psalmist said in Psalm 119 verse 8, let my heart be sound in thy statutes. And we've got to be aware of this matter. We need soundness of spiritual life within us. We read in Psalm 16 verse 8, where the psalmist says, I have set the Lord always before me. He was aware, whatever he was doing day by day, that the Lord was watching over him and seeing what he was doing. In other words, we have to be conscious of the fact that we need to deal with the matter of our hearts, that they are right in God's sight. First of all, if we're going to deal with them, if we're going to discharge this duty, if we're going to keep our heart, there's got to be an awareness felt. But that's only the start. Something else is needed. There's not only the awareness to be felt, but there is the attention to be given. I'm speaking from experience of work that I've got to deal with day by day in the study. And there's some things that come up that you try to shove them away. They seem to be stopping you from getting on what you perceive to be the main part of the work. But you know, they have to be done. This letter has to be answered. This phone call has to be made, and there has to be thought on how the phone call is to be made. There's so many different things about it, but you're aware of that. And then the time comes. I've got to deal with this. So you sit down. You think out what you're going to say. Or maybe you write out a few notes that have to be of help to cover the conversation. Or you make out a draft of a letter. You think over it. You look at it. Pray about it. And you have your own particular situations where you have a task to do. And it's not enough to be aware of it. But you say, I've got to address this matter. And so you sit down and you give it serious thought. And you're beginning now to pay attention to it. This is what we do with our hearts. We realize that we are responsible for our spiritual lives. We realize that the heart is the seat of our affections, as we've seen, is the mainstring of all our affections. And we've got to pay attention to it. So we've got to set out a plan how we're going to deal with this matter of my spirituality, my relationship with God, what it will mean for me. So far, so good. But it's not enough. Many a plan has been made, and it has been shelved and never put in, never been implemented, and it hasn't accomplished anything. So whenever you are aware, whenever you and I are aware that I have a responsibility to tend to the well-being of my heart, and may I remind us again, the heart stands for the person here. Whenever we are aware of that, and then we say, I've got to face up to this matter. I've got to see to it. We begin to think about it, and we take it seriously. But there's one more step. There's the action to be taken. The awareness is felt, the attention's paid, and now there's action. We actually are going to fulfill what Solomon says here, keep thy heart. Well, how do we do it? You remember this morning in the service, we looked at three or four different pictures of what Solomon might have been thinking of here. And we thought of a reservoir. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we saw that the water coming out of a reservoir is very much connected with our well-being, whether it's for the maintenance of our lives or whether it's just to clean our bodies. The water's there. Well, let's think of it that way tonight. If we're going to tend to our heart, let's think of it as if it were a reservoir filled with water. And the first thing I want you to notice about a reservoir is that it needs to be full. So we have got to keep our hearts full. If our hearts are empty and there's nothing to us, then we're not going to achieve very much in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the fullness of a person's heart, even though he may be in error, he will be influential. People who have been on the wrong track, but they've been out and out and zealous in what they're doing, even though it's wrong, they have made an impact. I think that can be granted. But if your heart's right with God, if my heart's right with God, and if our hearts are full, we can make an impact for God and for good and for the well-being of people in the circle that we move about in. How then can we be full-hearted? The only way that we can be full-hearted is to have fellowship with Christ day by day in His Word and in prayer. And whenever the means of grace comes, such as gathering for midweek services, prayer meetings, the Lord's Supper, these are times that Christ is present. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 87, verse 7. All my springs are in thee. In other words, he's related to Christ. And if you and I want a full heart, then we've got to be related to him. Think of him. Think of his cross work. Think of his power. Think of his promises. Think of his presence with us day by day. And that'll make the heart full. Partly anyhow. But the main thing is, keep in fellowship with him. And that'll make for a full heart. But then again, the waters of a reservoir not only need to be full, they need to be pure. Imagine if you turned the tap on in your home and tadpoles or spricklies came out, or worse than that, coloured water, dirt. Oh, think of the awful effect that would have on you. You expect whenever you turn the water on that it'll be pure. And the water companies that provide that service have to make that sure as well. Well, our hearts are such that out of it come the issues of life that we've talked about earlier today, but they need to be pure. The heart needs to be pure. You and I need to have a pure heart. The Lord Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you remember the travelers? Large number of them. They came out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. Got into wilderness. They came to a place called Mara, where the waters were bitter, weren't fit for human consumption. And they cried unto Moses. And God told Moses what to do, to cut down a tree and cast it into the water. Right away the waters were purified and sweet, and the people were able to drink at that stage. And that tree, my dear friend, is a picture of the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if he is brought into the situation in which we are involved day by day, he will enable us to keep the waters clean. You want to keep your heart clean? You want to keep your heart with all diligence? Bring Christ and his cross work into the whole situation. You remember another place in the Bible, whenever Elisha had succeeded the prophet Elijah. Elijah was taken to heaven without dying at that stage. Elisha was left. And then the sons of the prophets came to him. This was around the Jericho area, and said, the ground is barren and the waters are putrefied. In fact, they're drying up. And Elisha said, get a new cruse. And he put salt in it. And then he brought it to the fountain. And he cast it into the fountain, and the waters were purified, and the land became fertile. The salt's the picture of God's word there. So if you're related to the cross of Christ continually, and if you're related to God's word continually, it will make for pure actions in your life, and they will flow out from your heart. This is what's entailed in keeping thy heart. This is the action we're taking. Got to keep it, the reservoir full. We've got to keep it pure. But there's something else. We've got to keep it calm. Now, even though a storm came and whipped it all up, there still would be adequate water in the reservoir. But our hearts, slightly different. Whenever our hearts are whipped up into a frenzy, when the storm of trial and temptation comes, our hearts don't always have the calmness. Sometimes our hearts can be stirred up because of the wrongdoing that we do. Sometimes our hearts can be stirred up because of the actions we perform in other people. Let me tell you about King David, the man after God's heart. Whenever Saul, his enemy, was persecuting him, chasing him and tracking him down to try to slay him, one night David had him, you might say, where he wanted him. Abishai was with David, and he said to David, listen, he said, just say the word to me and I'll put this spear through him. Saul was sleeping. David says, no, you can't touch the Lord's anointed. But what David did was, He cut a part of Saul's garment. He sneaked in, he crept in to the right through Saul's guards and got at Saul, and he cut a bit of his garment. And then whenever Saul woke up in the morning, David shouted out to him and let him know what he had done. You know what the Bible said? David's heart smote him. He was upset. His heart was agitated because of what he perceived to be the wrong that he did in Saul. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter 24. In 2 Samuel, you have almost the same thing again. Another situation where David did something else when Saul was unaware, and all the while Saul was trying to kill David, David did something akin to what he did earlier, and we are told that David's heart smote him again. We need a calm heart. And if our hearts are agitated and distressed and stressed, well, then it's going to show in our actions. It's going to show in our words to people. We need to keep our heart. We need to still our hearts. We need to be still and know that God is, as the psalmist says. And Paul, whenever he was in prison, wrote these words, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. To have a contented heart is a tremendous thing. The story is told of a martyr in Switzerland. Because he loved the Lord Jesus, because he was true to the Bible, he was against false doctrine, and he espoused Christ alone for salvation, he was taken and put on trial and found guilty of crimes against the Roman Catholic Church. He was brought out to the pyre. Pyre of wood was there, ready to set the fire alight. And he begged for a few words of the judge that had passed the sentence on him before he would be executed. He recited the Apostles' Creed as it was then. And then he said to the judge, he says, I would ask you to do one last thing before I go to the fire. He says, put your hand on my breast where my heart is and feel it, and put your hand on your own breast where your heart is, and tell me if you can see any difference. Which is the beating the more violent? And it is said the judge would have nothing to do with it, but hurried him on to the fire and put him to death. The old martyr, despite the terrible ordeal he was going through, he had this tranquility, this serenity, this peace. Just the way the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was out with the disciples, caught in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, when he was fast asleep, the disciples were panicking. And then the Lord Jesus, when he was wakened, he said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm in the sea, and the winds had died down. And soon the boat was at its haven. That's how we keep our hearts, to seek the peace of God to be in them, no matter what situations that rise up against us as we make our way through life. Because it's only then that we'll be fit to live out the Christian principles and the Christian truths that we know that God wants us to live out in everyday action. Let me say one other thing about keeping the heart and these means that God has provided. And it is this. Not only does the reservoir need to be pure and calm, not only does it need to be full, but it needs to be singular. In other words, certain reservoirs look after certain regions. Now, if the engineers came along and said, now we've got upgrades here, lovely designs, we'll put another huge conduit in, another huge channel, another huge pipe, they may do that. But they're going to be siphoning off waters that never were meant to go anywhere else. And it means that other people that used to receive that water are going to get less or none. And there's going to be an outcry. People are going to suffer because of that. The lesson here is, we must have a singular heart. The Lord said in the days of Hosea, in chapter 10 and verse 2, that my people's heart is divided. A divided heart It's akin to the double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways. A heart divided is not serving any purpose whatsoever. The story is told of a man who was a religious man, but not quite an evangelical believer. He was a church man. He loved church. But he never got too much involved. Oh, he knew a lot about doctrine. But the members of the church were aggrieved of certain things that he was up to through the week, and he had never thrown his full weight in with them. So he wasn't getting too much pleasure from the people in the church that knew the type of man he was. But then the world outside, they knew that he was a church man. And they said he wouldn't be much good to us because of his scruples. They thought he had scruples. But the point was, the man was trying to ride both horses. The man was sitting on the fence. He was one thing on a Sunday to one group of people, and he was another thing to other groups of people the other remaining days of the week. And therefore, he was of no use to anyone, and he was incurring the wrath of people on both sides, or at least the displeasure of people. That's what a divided heart means for people. The Lord Jesus spoke about this in his word when he said, a city or a kingdom or a house divided against itself can't stand. Now you need to be out and out. Your heart needs to be singular. It needs not to be divided between some grand objects and world that are going to further your own ends. And then when it's convenient, maybe on a Sunday, to show that you belong to Christ. You've got to be out and out all the time for the Lord Jesus. And there's the question. If you're going to keep your heart, you'll be making sure my heart is fixed on Christ and on Christ alone. So that's the first thing. The means of discharging this duty. Very quickly, let's notice finally the manner in which we are to discharge the duty. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep, that's important. Keep. In fact, in the original, it is said that it means keep above all keeping. Now, we have to keep a lot of things in order. We want to make sure that our physical condition is kept. We want to make sure that our appearance is kept. We want to make sure that our business is in good order. And we want to make sure that our relationships with others are in good order. But what the Lord is saying here is, above all of these and every other consideration, see that your heart, your spiritual life, is in good order. This is what he's saying. Keep thy heart. But then, notice, with all diligence. Now, you know what diligence means. It means wholeheartedness. It means conscientiousness. It means earnestness. It means excellence. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it. There's the action. Do it with thy might. The wise man says, and this is what we are to do here, make keeping our hearts, protecting our hearts, protecting our testimony, protecting our spiritual life, to be among the main business matters of our Christian lives. Let me finish with this. For some, maybe, here tonight, what I've been saying is irrelevant and inappropriate. And that for the simple reason that your hearts are not worth keeping. Now, before you get angry with me, let me explain what I mean. The Bible tells us that the heart of the unregenerate man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What you need, friend, if you're not a Christian, is a new heart. The heart of stone being removed, and the heart of flesh put in. Now, let me, as we come to a close, read you what the prophet Zechariah had to say in chapter 7, verse 11 and 12. Listen to these words about God's people in those days. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his prophets. What they needed was a new heart. Their hearts were like stone, he says. They were disregarding and disobeying and rebelling against God's word. Is that what you've been doing? Week by week, year by year, day by day, as the message of the gospel of Christ has been proclaimed in this place and elsewhere, you've heard of the claims of Christ in your life. You've heard what our sins have done to the Lord, that they were responsible for him going to the cross. You have known that you had to settle this matter of getting right with him and trusting him as your Savior. But you've let year after year go by, and you're no nearer the kingdom of God tonight. Rather, you're further from it. There's been an impenitent heart, an adamantine heart, a stony heart, a hard heart. You need a new heart, a heart that will indicate you've been born again, a heart that will indicate you have another nature living within you. When the Son of God comes to dwell in your life, as you trust him as your personal Savior, listen to what God says, and with this we'll come to a conclusion. I'm reading from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. You say, how could I ever do that? It will be Christ living his life through you as a result of that new nature that he has given you, that will love him, that will love the things of God, that will love the house of God, that will love to read the word of God, that will love to pray. So it's a new heart you need. The Lord put it this way: marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He's here. He's among his people. He loves you, cares for you. He has died for the vilest of mankind. And that takes us all in. And he has put it in plain writing, that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you? Will you experience this new birth tonight? And have this heart that will be worth keeping. And then you'll know the working out in your life of Solomon's precept: keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.